The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who, in the name of charity and goodwill, shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness. For he is truly his brother's keeper and finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee. Ladies and gentlemen, the Church of Laszlo has begun.
Yo!
Yo!
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great, man.
Good. Glad to hear it.
Twitch already starting on me. I don't hate Christians.
Why would you?
I posted something on Twitter. It was a picture of Trump sitting down at like one of those political rally things,
okay.
Right? And everybody was putting their hands on him and praying.
Oh, I've seen pictures like that before.
And I was just like, well, I don't care who you vote for. I think he even said it. Like, I really don't care. Vote for whoever you want. Whatever. I'm done arguing with people. Like, whatever, vote for who you want. Whatever. Whoever. But do people really think this guy, and by the way, maybe I'll vote for him, but do people really think this guy's going home and just browsing through the Bible looking for
that always
divine guidance? Like, what? How? And I just think you're deeply religious, so I get it. If you're a conservative, right, and you're a back the blue guy, and you're or girl, and you're anti-immigration, and he says a lot of things, right, that you agree with. Just if you agree with him, right, you're like, yeah, goddamn right, okay. And then he goes to the prayer circle, right?
Right.
I think you, as a person, are like, he doesn't really mean that.
Right.
He's not, like, you get it. You're like, he's doing that so we can get the religious vote. And by the way, I understand it, and he should do it. My point is with the really religious people, do you buy it? Because Trump isn't doing it because he's religious, and 30 to 40% of the people who will vote for him think they're pulling one over on you.
Right.
Right? Like, they don't think he's doing it either.
Yeah, I never understood why he can't just say, look, I'll put the judges in place to get the things done that you want to get done. I'll support the Christian, right?
Exactly.
And he did those things, right? So I'll
do
those
things. By the way, he does. He does.
Yeah.
So,
but then to go out there, like, during the Black Lives Matter protests and go out there and hold the Bible in front of the church, I'm like, why does he have to do that, though? Because can't he just be like, I'm not really religious. It's not my thing. I'm not someone who goes to church every Sunday, right?
Right.
But I believe that it's a great thing about America, and I love that you're religious, and I'll help you every way I can.
And he could even be like, and I don't have to be religious to be pro-life.
Exactly, exactly.
Because this is what I do know.
Yes.
I mean, he could take the Bill Burr effect.
Yes.
You know, you put a cake in the oven.
Yeah.
And you know,
take it out early.
It out.
Say, hey, that wasn't a cake. Well, it would have been.
Right.
You wouldn't have messed with it.
Right.
Yeah.
And you just throw it on the floor, and I'm like, why did you ruin my cake? Like, it wasn't a cake yet. Well, okay.
Right.
I understand that argument. You can do that. I just, though, when he's got his head down and he's praying and everybody's got their hand on him, like, Jesus is going to speak through Trump. I just think, well, okay.
I remember those pictures when he was in the White House.
And by the way, if I were him, so if you're a Trump supporter, I'm not really busting Trump's balls at all here. I'm not, because I'm like, if I were him, I'd do the same thing. I'm just like, who's it fooling?
Do the people who are laying hands on him. Okay, so I guess the people who are laying hands on him, I would assume that they're religious. So they they probably believe.
Or they may be in it for the money, too. And
sure,
they're like,
sure.
Hey, let's hoodwink these. But
sure.
Somebody is deeply religious.
Yeah. But they
and
might,
they see that, and they're like.
But they might think, as a deeply religious person, if they are truly religious, that, hey, somebody else religious, or even just me sitting here at home as a religious person praying for him, can help. That prayer can help. That we are praying for God to use his hands
as a tool
to do his work, right?
Okay, well,
okay,
then maybe
then
that's
sure.
It.
But when you're praying, you know, when you're standing in a circle and everyone's laying hands on him, I feel like what you're saying is, do you think that Trump believes that this prayer is going to affect him somehow?
Somebody asked me a question on Twitter, and they said, you know, God puts people in positions, and we should pray for them no matter whether they're left or right. And I said, okay, well, that's a good point. I'll even buy it. Like, everything happens for a reason. And if you believe it's, you know, some sort of karmic energy, or you believe it's Jesus Christ or whatever, whoever you pray to or don't pray to. But if you believe that, that's all true, which I tend to, I do.
Yeah.
So then my question is, do you think Trump believes that?
Right.
That's the question.
I get what you're asking.
Do you believe that Trump believes that God put him in a position to be president?
Or that prayer is helping him?
Or do you think that he did it on his own?
Yeah.
Because I do think there have been people who have run for president.
Who believe.
Like, hey, I believe Mitt Romney believed.
Oh, yeah.
Like, hey, you know, the Mormon faith put me here.
I think Biden's pretty religious.
Right. I think Biden probably thinks, like, yeah, you know. You know, I don't know, you know, other ones that, you know. That
I think W probably seemed pretty religious. I mean, I know he was supposedly a born-again Christian, but I could buy that he was a religious person.
I buy that he bought into it.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't think he was going to church every week. I think he'd rather be out and having a beer, watch the game.
Maybe,
but
yeah.
But there have been deeply religious people who clearly have run for president. I think
Jimmy Carter was really religious.
Jimmy Carter believed.
Yeah.
That, I don't know if he believed God put him there, but I believe he looked to God for inspiration.
Absolutely, and believed in the power of prayer.
And believed
those
in, hey, I don't have an answer, I should open the Bible.
Yes.
My question is, you think if Trump goes back into his office and he's like, I don't have an answer to this Ukraine thing, I should open up Ecclesiastes, I don't even know if that's a word, but
sounds right.
37:42, because the answer's there. But not a chance.
No.
I believe Carter did.
Yeah.
I believe, like you said, Bush may have.
Yeah.
Bush may have
at least believed in the power of prayer, or he did pray.
How about this? I believe Bush would find someone spiritual and be like, where should I look
exactly
for this? I believe that about him. I believe Obama probably thought that way too, to be honest with you. Like,
maybe.
Where do I look
for
this type of thing? I don't think Clinton was going back and being like, yo,
I think so.
What's God think about the tech boom?
Huh? Yeah.
Got an idea on that? That ain't it.
No.
So there you go. There's a left and a right. I don't think Trump's going back and just reading the Bible or asking someone spiritually, like, hey, what do you think I need to pray about?
Right. No.
No.
Or that before he goes to bed at night, he's sitting there, dear God, please help God.
Right.
I just don't see
that. I don't
that
buy it.
Thing. I don't either.
And why don't I buy it? Because I'm a lot like him, I think.
Who, you're not like Trump?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In that sense. Yeah, right? You know, we've all got a little bit of, some of us more than the others, but you're like, well, if I'm going to win,
yeah,
I need to make these people believe that I'm on their side, right?
Yep.
So that's it.
Yeah, they really get paid for this.
You believe this shit?
The Church of Laszlo.
Amen, brother.
98.9, The Rock.
Yo.
Yo.
What's going on?
Well,
I got to pee.
I'm
just FYI.
I'm taking tomorrow off.
I know you're going to a wedding. Congratulations.
Yeah. Yep. So just a heads up there. Really looking forward to going to the airport and all that stuff.
What time do you leave?
Always exciting.
Oh, it's in the evening. That
it's
is
in
better.
The evening. Yeah. But
time to,
it's
you know,
just that
take something to take the edge off and
yeah, it's not even, I mean, the edge is really more about just getting there on time.
I know, that's
parking,
what I'm saying.
That
airport's
that.
Stressful. So, but you too will have time to be like, okay, let's give ourselves some time.
And
let's take a Mitra 9 pack.
Right.
You know, that makes it. Because when you have to get up at like 5 in the morning.
I've told myself
then you're
time and time again,
already,
I'll never do that again. But living
already.
In Kansas City, sometimes you don't have an option.
No.
They'll say, look, you fly at 6 a.m. or you don't fly. And you're like, God.
Yeah.
You might as well spend the night at the airport.
And I know, you know, with kids it's different, but even with just someone else, a partner.
Yeah.
You're both grumpy. You don't want to be there.
Right.
You're like, who booked this at this time?
And I booked this damn flight out, so because I did it late, it was my responsibility to do it way sooner than
right.
I did. Of course I waited till the last minute. So all that was left is like, we're each in middle seats somewhere in different parts of the airplane.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oof. So that really sucks.
Well,
because I'll pay for the extra.
Far from her is not bad.
Well, that part, I mean, see,
hey, look, I've been on trips where I'm in love with people, but it's still like, this four-hour trip would be better suited if I wasn't next to you.
Sitting in between strangers, though, when you're tall and
well,
you're
that's what I'm saying. The middle seat
no
is
room,
bad.
It's like I have no armrest. It's a whole thing.
I do like the idea of being, you know, on the aisle seat,
yes,
four rows away from the person I'm traveling with.
That's fine.
Because we're about to be together
yes.
A lot.
I'll pay for the extra leg room or whatever if I can't.
Sure.
It wasn't an option. But then I got this whole other thing going on, this whole other
what?
Stress that I get. I need your advice.
Oh, boy.
I mean, it's not like that. It's not, oh, boy. It's not like There's no pregnancy or anything like that, but it's just one of these big life things.
Easy.
And it's, well, I know that's easy for you. It doesn't involve pregnancy.
Well, you can have a kid or not. The choice is yours.
I understand. It doesn't involve that, so.
I mean, I guess the choice is hers, but.
It is, yes, it is hers.
Not yours, yes. But I mean, you could certainly.
It is not yours.
You can lead it. Lead her.
Okay, Lazo, that's not what it's about. So why get in trouble for something that we don't even need to talk about?
The Church of Laszlo. On 98.9 The Rock.
Yo. Mr. Big Wiener.
Mm-hmm.
Hey.
Mr. Arnold Palmer.
How's the alarm today?
Not good. Snow comes in here shaking his head like still not feeling up to it. Last night, there was a group text, and last thing I saw from Snow Cone was that he said he was about to take a sleeping pill and enter night-night sleepy tight.
He did? I didn't see that.
Didn't he? I thought he said something about he was going to take his medication. Uh-huh. Yeah.
He did? I didn't get it.
Oh.
It's on there.
It was in the group text. He said, I'm going to take my, what's it called?
Trazodone.
I'm going to take my Trazodone and see how things go. So he just walked in here. People can't see. He just walked in here and I was going, so how'd it go? Someone goes, not good.
So, well, I mean, I went to bed, you know, like at 12:30.
So it did cause you to fall asleep?
Yeah.
And then what happened? What was wrong?
I get like this. It's, when I get down, I sleep and sleep and sleep. I can sleep, if I had to set an alarm, I'd sleep for 16, 17 hours.
Well, I feel like I've always been
and
that
I'm
way.
I'm still tired. Like, I'm exhausted right now. I slept probably 12, 13 hours last night. I'm exhausted.
I feel like I've always been that
I've
way.
Never woken up refreshed, but
that's what I'm saying. I've never, and like, the longer I sleep, the worse I feel.
When I finally wake up.
Like, that's why I've always been a night person. I start feeling actually fully awake sometime after dinner time, around dinner time, after dinner time. That's when I'm like, hey, I finally feel as good as I'm going to feel today, like awake.
Exactly.
And by then, businesses are closing.
Yeah, but you guys have the option. You got to take away the option. Because I've been that way forever, too. But now I got to get up at 6:15 to take the kids to school.
Yeah.
If you just tell you, well, and then you got to go to work. So. Yeah. If you just get up and refuse to go to sleep, it takes like 2 days, and then you're just like 9:30. Like the other day, we came back. Yesterday, we came back from dinner, and I was like, "Phew!" I got up at 6 o'clock this morning. I'm tired. I look down, and I'm like, "It's 8:15, bro."
Yeah,
like you can't. You got to watch some TV, and I will catch a second wind, and I could stay up if I wanted to, but. Getting up at 6:15 and doing something, and even if you say no, it doesn't work. Do it for 7 days in a row.
I did it for 2 years.
When I
left here, I worked the other job. I had to be there at 8 a.m. every day, and I get there, and it was hard work every single day.
I can get up.
I had the next day off. I'm sleeping until noon again.
Like, yeah.
My body
does that.
But you just have to get up. Like even if you have the next day off, you have to force yourself even on days you don't.
Right. Right. Soko's saying he never naturally feels the urge to wake up in the morning.
Yeah, I know you have to use an alarm, but eventually you'll go to bed earlier.
It's never going to happen.
Yeah. But as far as like how many hours it takes for my body to finally start to feel awake, and I'm not even saying that I feel good, but that I'll feel the best that I feel, it's hours and hours. So even if I woke up at 6 a.m., then it still takes until late afternoon, whenever it is, that I finally think, okay, I'm feeling about as awake. Because when I wake up in the morning now, and I know our boss was joking around about it earlier, he's like, well, I've felt that way for 25 years.
Yeah.
But I think that probably does start some. I don't know when it started. I thought it was a COVID thing, but it probably just happened to coincide with COVID hitting me at an age where everyone starts to feel that. But, I mean, I swear that as of, like, 2012, somewhere around there, that when I woke up in the morning, I didn't want to wake up. I didn't feel wide awake and jump out of the bed singing songs.
Never.
But I didn't feel as bad as I do now when I wake up. When I wake up now, I am out of it. Like, just physically, and people just told me, that happens as you get older. You and I feel like it happened at similar times, so we both kind of thought, like, is it a COVID thing?
Well, I'm tired all the time, but I will say, I mean, if I don't force myself to get up at 6:15, so when my kids used to go to their mom's house, right, and I'd have like 5 days off, I'd just be up till, you know, slugging Coors Banquet beers and staying up till 4 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, and going, of course.
Yeah.
But now I have to do it every day. Like, after a month, you're like, you know, 8:15, you're like, I'm tired. I'm tired. Like, I can go to sleep
at
any moment.
At night, for sure.
Where before, I didn't, so.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. If you, the more hours I'm awake, yeah, the earlier I'm going to start.
Exactly. That doesn't like mean I'm going to feel better in the morning.
No.
It just means that I do go to sleep earlier.
Yeah, but I'm with Soko in the sense that I could sleep 20 hours probably. I've done it. I mean, there's been times, and usually it's depression that allows me to stay in bed on a weekend because I don't have anything. No one's expecting me, so I go, I'm just going to stay in bed, and I can sleep and sleep. Now, the weird thing is that the longer you sleep, somehow you end up feeling more tired.
Yeah, well, probably more depressed.
There's like a bar there of some sort. Right. I wasn't very good at math, but somewhere in there you go, okay, if you go past this many hours, then it doesn't really help anymore, and
plus
you start feeling worse.
Catch 22, or now you're just chasing your tail because you're like, oh, I stayed in bed because I'm depressed, but now I'm more depressed because I stayed in bed, which leads me to stay in bed more.
Exactly.
Like, so just get up at 6:15 and go for a jog.
Yep. I mean,
well, it sucks, but what are you going to do?
Depression is actually the thing that motivates most of my actions in life.
Of course.
Because it's the fear of the depression getting worse. It's the fear, you know, it's different. Like you talk about, you don't feel guilty, but you have, I know you have something that would be the equivalent of what my guilt is. Because I'll feel guilty about sitting at home on a Saturday going, okay, I haven't done anything yet. I need to accomplish some things, or I'll start to feel depressed about the fact that I watch football all day.
Right, but I don't necessarily feel guilty.
Yeah.
But I certainly feel like I got to go accomplish a task.
Yeah.
Even if it's just a simple task like, all right, I got to go outside and wash the car.
Right.
Do something. I got to go, you know, water the plants and wash the car. Let's double down right here.
Yeah.
Wow, that would be insane if I could get that done.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to go grocery shop. You know, something.
Those are the things.
I've got to go do something. Do a load of laundry, which, by the way, if I'm doing that, then, man,
you're really
focused, right? Yeah. But I don't necessarily, if I don't do it, I'm not like,
I get really
mad. Like, I don't get in my head about it. I'm just like, I should have done that. You know, like anything else. But
I do. It hangs over
it
me as if like there's
hang
a voice.
On me
why
like
didn't you
else.
Do that? You should have done it. And now you've ruined any. You're not even allowed to be happy now. Even if you watch this movie and you love it, you're not allowed to enjoy it because you should have done something. So that's kind of how my brain works. Or
but I do get the, like, you've been sitting on your ass. This is the third. This is the third football game you watched, and you just noticed now that the late night baseball games have started.
Yeah.
And you're like, well.
Well, now it gets darker earlier. That messes with your head, too, because you go, oh, God, how long have I been doing this? I thought I woke up at a decent time. Maybe I didn't. I'm still in my pajamas, and it's almost, or it is dark out now. That's why winter, it's not the cold weather for me. It's the early nights that mess with my head more than anything. I have seasonal depression bad. I have since I was a kid, and it starts now. And people love fall, I know, and I understand logically why they love fall, but for me, fall just signals, here it comes. The days are getting shorter, so it's always kind of freaked me out. And now I'm at this place where we get home from work, and it's dark, and it's not going to be too long before when we go to leave work, it's dark.
Yeah, that actually cuts me a little slack.
You've said that you're okay with that. I know some people like it
because then I'm like, well, I don't really need to do anything. It's dark out already.
There's that.
Right. Like, it cuts me some slack. I feel more guilty if it's like,
it's
beautiful,
nice,
and it's 9:30 at night. I'm like, I have not done anything.
Right.
But if it's crappy out, I'm like, well, I didn't miss anything. It gives me a built-in excuse.
Yeah, like this.
That's why kind of like, you know, like living in Key West was hard on me a little bit. Because
of course, every day's beautiful.
Every day's beautiful, just people in bikinis playing volleyballs. I'm walking to work, and I'm like, I need winter
to match
my personality at some points. Because every day you're like, man, everybody is just happy. Everyone here there's like 120,000 people on this island right now. There's only 20,000 people that live here. So 100,000 people are here, and they're on vacation.
Yeah.
They're all happy.
And you're watching Alabama.
Right.
Yeah.
Like,
in your underwear. But
like,
you know what's
so
weird, too? I would say the happiest, when I was at my happiest, somewhere in my 30s, I think I got the medication combination right. And I was actually on a medication that helped a lot, but the side effects my doctor didn't like. So, but during that time,
you ejaculated fire.
Yeah, it was painful. So I was like, I just don't have sex anymore. And the doctor's like, no, that's not good. And I was like, no, please. I was like holding onto the bottle as he's taking it away because it did. I think it's what you take, Snow Cone. I think it was
Cymbalta.
Yeah. And man, that stuff helped me so much. Now, who knows how long it would have helped. But it's weird because when I was feeling that good, one of the things I did was on Sundays, I would watch NFL games, and I noticed that by, you know, before the Sunday night game, I would stand up. I was still in my pajamas, and I would kind of take the dog outside to run in some circles and do all that stuff, and I would come back in, order pizza, sit down, and watch the Sunday night game, still in my pajamas, no guilt.
Yeah, right.
I was like, this is great. It's Sunday. I've watched. I'm becoming a man now. I do this all day. I just watch football. But something about it now, I get that feeling of like, no, don't do this. I wish I could, Because the truth is, what am I doing? I don't have anything important to do.
Clean my gutters. I need someone to clean my gutters.
I have to do that, too. I just did it not that long ago, but I could probably do yours. Well, I don't have a truck anymore.
Oh, yeah.
So getting the ladder over. You don't have a ladder, I'm guessing.
Not a tall one.
Yeah, I don't know how to get my ladder over there. I can walk, but it's going to take me a while to get that thing over
there. Give you something to do on a Sunday.
That's true. That's true. Which is really the whole thing that I was going to ask your advice about.
Oh, yeah, we'll get to that next.
Yeah, it involves that.
It does take some getting used to.
The Church of Laszlo.
Okay, everybody just calm down.
On 98.9 The Rock. It's time to doom scroll.
You don't know, could kill
the order of hornets.
Corpies infected monkeys.
The only news that matters with the most trusted name in the business. This is Headlines with Slim Fast on The Church of Laszlo.
Yo!
Yo!
So what are you and Aaron Rodgers have?
Oh, you want to jump to that? The
Except
Aaron Rodgers
you,
thing?
Spell your names weird.
Well, Aaron Rodgers, Laszlo, you know this. You've known me a long time, and I'm sure I've told this story within the last, probably 10 years. It could have been more recent. You and I have worked together. But when I was a kid, started a new school, an elementary school, first grade, get on the bus, and I wasn't like scared. I mean, I'm sure I was as scared as normal kids are to, you know, it's new kids, it's a new school, you're a new school, all that stuff.
Sure.
But I'm pretty outgoing, and as soon as I got on the bus, there was this kid named Dusty, and he said, just like in the Forrest Gump thing,
Dusty.
Like, you can say, hey, if you want to, it was that kind of thing.
You're
and
like,
so I was
no.
like, all right, I got a friend. So somebody to talk
to.
How
old was Dusty?
He's the same age as me.
Okay.
So, anyhow, at some point in these early weeks of this trip, remember, it's elementary school, so it was kindergartners through sixth grade all riding this bus together. And there were kids that were showing off how big a booger they could pick. Oh, and I was like, oh, I can pick bigger boogers than these kids. Trust me. My friend always talks about how he's never seen anything like it. My brothers say they've never seen anything like it. You guys want to see a big booger, I'll show you a big booger. So I'm thinking like, hey, everybody's laughing, having a good time. I'll show you how big a booger I can pick. So I picked this huge booger.
Why do you have such huge boogers?
I don't know.
You
exactly.
Still have them?
But yeah. I do, especially if I can't always get to them, but yeah, they seem to be connected to something that not everyone connects to. But anyhow, everyone was laughing like, oh my God, look at that. Reed does have the biggest boogers. And I'm thinking, great, everybody's laughing. I wipe the booger on the seat. Everyone's going, gross, dude, and I'm getting the laugh.
It is gross.
And then the next day, I go to get on the bus, and I'm thinking, here I come, you know, the class clown,
here
people like me.
Booger man.
But they started calling me Booger Eater. Booger Eater. Hey, Booger Eater. I'm like, wait, no, I didn't eat my boogers. I didn't. No. I picked my nose. You guys were talking about biggest boogers. I showed you guys laughed. We had fun. I didn't eat it. But that didn't matter. They started calling me Booger Eater, and I was hot lava.
Now,
no one wanted to be
your dad
near
call
me.
You booger too?
He just called me Booger. Yeah.
Why? Because of for the same
reason? I don't know. No, my
giant boogers?
My brothers, I assumed he called all of us that when we were kids. My brother's like, no, and we don't believe that he ever called you that. I'm like, he definitely called me that.
Okay.
He said Booger, like as a pet name. But, no, I don't think I ever picked my nose in front of my dad and tried to freak him out with big boogers like I did to my brothers. But they started calling me Booger Eater. This carried with me for some time.
So you're a booger eater.
It followed me, and I had
And everybody just thought you ate
like,
boogers?
Like, oh, don't sit next to him. It's Booger Eater. It's Booger Eater. And I'm like, I didn't eat it. I just picked it.
You were ostracized?
That was it. I was Booger Eater. Oh, he's gross. Oh, don't talk to him. Don't
the
you
girls
know he's
girls don't like that either.
Well, we got a new girl who's on the bus, and she's real cute, and she's in my grade. And some kid said, oh, don't sit next to him. He's a Booger Eater.
He eats his boogers.
He eats his boogers.
You don't want to be known as a guy who eats his boogers.
I didn't eat my boogers. And, you know, it would have helped if at the time you guys had said, given me some sign that you weren't enjoying the show. Because at the time that I was picking my nose, you guys were acting like I was a big man on campus.
Yeah, but I mean, times changed.
Everyone was gathered around. And then the next day, you just start calling me Booger
Eater.
They
were laughing at you, not with you.
I didn't know that. I was 7, 6, whatever. So I started getting called Booger Eater, and hand to God, I never was a Booger Eater.
Yeah, right.
I've done some gross things, but I never was a Booger Eater.
I don't believe it.
And now poor Aaron Rodgers.
He got caught eating a booger?
He's being called a Booger Eater because he got caught picking his nose. And well, I don't know exactly.
A lot of guys on TV get caught.
Looked like he was maybe eating his boogers. I'm not exactly sure, but he says, look, he's got a bad angle. And he says, I've never eaten my boogers.
I didn't see it. I saw what
he, I don't think it looks.
His fingers don't go in.
Yeah.
Like, they rub
like
the outside
his,
of his nose.
Like he's playing with his mustache,
and then
right?
They don't go in his mouth. Like,
right.
He really didn't.
That's why I relate to him. First of all, I'm not even positive this guy's picking his nose.
No, you did. He really didn't, though.
But you see what I'm saying? Let's just imagine for a second that I haven't ever eaten my boogers. Try to imagine. Then you can see how I could relate to this guy, because I watched the video and I'm thinking, he didn't pick it. He didn't eat his boogers. I'm not even sure he picked his nose. But he didn't eat them, and I know how something like this starts. It's just as soon as you get your finger near your nose, you get caught. Next thing you know, you're a booger eater. So I am defending Aaron Rodgers. He's not a booger eater.
I've actually never eaten my boogers. That's one thing I'm very proud of. It's a tough look to try and defend, because that video is a little incriminating. Yeah. But I can tell you that there needs to be a side view that shows that there wasn't a boog that actually went in the mouth. Yeah, it's a bad look.
So I believe him. He wasn't eating his boogers. It was just unfortunate timing. And, you know, the camera person, that stuff's not really truly live, I don't believe. I think they have that footage right there. They go, oh, we just caught Aaron Rodgers picking at his nose.
Was Aaron Rodgers back on
McAfee? Pat, yeah. McAfee? Isn't that weird? I thought they weren't doing it. Yeah, I know. I did, too. I thought that was weird. I thought maybe you would know why he was on there.
I like McAfee. I just haven't watched it a little bit.
Me neither. And so when I saw he was on there, I was like, wait a second. I thought they weren't having it. But then I thought maybe they just said they weren't going to do the every week thing, or that I was confused. I thought they were done with him. But yeah, that was the first time I've seen him on there since that whole thing. But
my computer
I'm defending,
froze, so I can't see.
I'm defending Aaron Rodgers. He's not a booger eater. Quit making fun of him for being a booger eater. He's a lot of things.
Can we see the video?
Can you pull the video up for Lazo? Do you have it on your phone? Or, yeah, just text it to Lazo. So it's really, there's not much to it. It looks like he's doing this. Now, do you guys pick your nose while you're driving?
I mean, everybody does sometimes. We don't eat it.
No, but I'm not asking if you eat it. That goes without saying. You're not eating. But when you're driving, as strangers are approaching you in the oncoming lane, or if a car pulls up next to you at a stoplight, do you stop picking your nose, or do you feel like, I don't know these people, it's okay? Because I used to kind of be discreet, but as I've gotten older, I've thought, I don't know these people, it's okay. I pick my nose a lot while I'm in the car, and I've just decided I'm probably not going to see these people again. And you know what? If they want to call me a booger eater, too late. You should have got to me 30-some years ago. Yeah.
Well, you shouldn't eat your boogers.
I don't eat my boogers. I don't. Okay. I know that some kids do. I never had that compulsion to eat a booger. I never did. Now, chewing on a scab, sure. You know, maybe you try that. I'm just saying, you maybe tried it. Yeah, it is. But, you know, as a kid, you might do
that.
Maybe, you know, chewing on. You know, that's enough, actually. We don't need to get into it. But I've just never eaten a booger. I've never had the desire to eat a booger. So that is why I'm defending Aaron Rodgers today. You know who else I'll bet never eats boogers?
I don't.
What?
I think you
don't like boogers. I don't eat boogers.
And I think
don't
you
do this
eat
to
your
me.
Own scabs.
When, I'm saying when I was a kid, I'm sure I put a scab or two in my mouth.
I've never
is
done that.
As a kid.
I've never heard of
crossed
it.
My mind.
Like you're biting, on a, scab.
No, I'm a guy who's you always scratching myself. I'm always.
Yeah, but you never had to bite
I don't
bite
like
one?
Having them.
I picked a million scabs.
Me too. I'm a
once.
Picker.
Never once been like, I should
do this
in my mouth.
Sometimes if I thought, let me eat it.
Yeah, no.
I never picked my nose and thought, let me eat it.
I don't think I swallowed it. I think I probably just used my mouth to chew
on it. Like, you know, used it as a.
Yeah, that's really weird.
Yeah, well, okay. I used to work with a guy who chewed his toenails at work. Like, he would take his shoes and socks off, and he would chew his toenails
at
work.
Bite his own toenail?
He would bite. I don't know how you do that.
Put his foot up there?
Yeah, he would sit there and chew on his toenails at work. And I was like, man, what a strange. It's a strange thing to do, but really strange thing to do in public.
Yeah, okay,
like,
scabby.
There were girls that we worked with. I'm talking about when I'm 6'5", 6 years old, something like that. I may have chewed on a scab. Jesus.
You brought it up for
You're
a reason.
6'5", what? 6 years old.
You brought it up for a reason.
The scab thing?
Yeah.
Because I'm saying I've never eaten a booger.
I know,
really
you're like, but
I maybe
chew a scab.
Hey, right.
To sneak it
I'm
in.
Willing to admit that I've done that before.
But what you tried to do there.
He tried to sneak it in.
No.
What he tried to do was admit to something.
Yes.
That is of a lesser evil.
Is it?
Right.
To make us then
it might be just as
believe
bad.
That he's telling the truth.
It right. might be worse.
It's a very common liar's poker thing where you say, you know, look, I never eat my booger. Maybe I chewed a scab before. Then people are like, oh, he chewed a scab. But then you really believe him that he hasn't eaten a booger because he gave you something that was lesser.
But was it lesser?
You deal with cops a lot. Like, you know, hey, I didn't steal that car. But if you're looking for the guy who threw a rock through a window, that's me. And they're like,
what do you
look
want
at
me
him.
To? I'll admit
look
to something worse. If eating a scab isn't worse than a booger,
I'm just saying that's what you did right
worse.
There. But
I'm just telling you. I
now
would
I
tell
believe
you.
That you eat your scabs and boogers.
I've never
you're
eaten a booger.
Line.
I've never eaten a booger.
Well, why'd they call you a booger eater?
Because they were kids. And, you know,
they
decided this will be the thing.
Eater?
And they were in band, so they're probably trying to keep that attention off of them.
Call anybody else booger eater?
No, they called me booger eater.
You, huh?
because I had the biggest boogers. And somebody decided
and
to
ate them.
Turn that. I didn't eat it. I wouldn't eat it. I would not do such a thing. I would pick my nose, and I would, you know, I might wipe a booger on my brother's shoulder or something like that.
It's a lie with you. You got to live with it, not me.
I don't have to live with it because I'm telling you the truth.
I believe
so
you.
What I'm living with here is
I believe you.
I'm living with people who don't believe me.
I believe
me.
You.
You don't. You're saying you do, but you act as if you don't. Do you think Kim Jong-un eats his boogers?
I don't think he has boogers.
Oh, that's right. He doesn't have boogers. He doesn't
have a
butthole.
Perfect. He doesn't
have
a butthole.
That's right. I forgot. So I don't know.
He's perfect.
Why would he even ask that? Yeah, there's no boogers to be eaten because there's no. I don't think he even goes to the restroom at all. Right? He doesn't go number one or number two. I think there's just nothing down there. Maybe no. He wouldn't spread that rumor. He wouldn't say that he's just smooth down there. But I'm pretty sure he does say he doesn't have a butthole.
He did say he doesn't have a butthole.
Yeah.
He played golf once and got a hole in one every time.
Every time he plays, he gets a hole in one. Yeah.
And so he's never played again.
Sun rises in the morning because he asks it to things like that.
Sure.
There's quite a few things. Archery's very good at that.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how good his troops are, but I assume they'd be pretty good. They work for this guy. And there's a bunch of them now that are being sent to Russia. So they call this an escalation. Some people call it an escalation of World War III, Lazo. That ever since Russia invaded Ukraine, that was the early days. We'll look back in history, that being the early days of what sparked the Third World War. And now that you have North Korean troops being sent over to help
the Russians,
that it's escalating things. Yeah, they've been buying weapons from them. Now they're sending troops.
I don't know much about the North Koreans, but their troops look badass.
They got good uniforms, right?
Yeah, and they march well.
Yeah.
Like, they look trained. It's not like, you know, we're always worried about those, you know, I don't know who they were, the whatever group from the Middle East. It's always just the same picture of eight dudes on an old...
Right. The Taliban.
And they're on, like, that monkey bar thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, guys.
Oh, for their practice?
Yeah,
whatever,
they're like, look
exercise
at them. They're running through this. I'm like, man, it's an old, broken...
Jungle gym
stuck in the desert. There's guys, like, that's not impressive.
And then one gun for all
not
of them.
Impressive.
No, it's really
but
not.
The way the North Koreans march around with those guns, you're like, hey, you don't... It's like if you go watch a college football sport or a baseball even. I went and watched Nebraska play baseball, right? And they were playing South Alabama. Doesn't matter. But I'm watching them, and before the game, all the guys in Nebraska lined up their mitts on the foul line, and then they all did their warm-ups, and it was in unison.
Oh,
that's
wow.
Not something that you just went out and did.
No.
That's something that you've been practicing, and your coach is saying the details matter. We're going to do everything this way.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about North Korea. Somebody trained them.
Of course.
They are a well-trained army. Now, there may not be many of them, I don't know.
I think
but I wouldn't want to fight them.
Well, it's not like the U.S. military doesn't do similar things, right?
Of course, I'm saying our military does the exact same thing. They're great at it.
And they're great. I mean, they
taught me how to march, and I got no rhythm.
But I think that the punishment probably for falling half a step out of line in North Korea, probably a little more severe. I don't know that, but it seems like... Yeah, I'm sure it was.
North Korean troops at a base in Russia's Far East. Evidence that Kim Jong-un has sent thousands of soldiers to support President Putin, according to the U.S.
We assess that between early to mid-October, North Korea moved at least 3,000 soldiers into eastern Russia.
A potentially dangerous international escalation in the Ukraine war. This week, intelligence officials said America's adversaries may try to incite post-election violence.
Oh boy, it's all doom and gloom, baby.
Oh, yeah,
all
weeks
doom
left,
and gloom.
So
that's it. Yep, 2 weeks left, and
it's been a good run.
After that, apparently, it's all gonna fall apart. Well, you got this war that's being escalated, and now they're saying that these adversaries are, what did he call them?
Adversaries.
Are going to start some sort of violence post-election. Yep. There'll be post-election violence in the United States.
We had a good run.
It's a good name for a band.
Buy some toilet paper.
Post-election violence is a good name for a band.
Not bad. Not bad.
That's really good.
Do people shorten it, though?
Yeah.
I still need to tell you mine.
PEV.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Pretty good.
More from the pulpit coming up. The Church of Laszlo.
Preach, brother!
On 98.9 The Rock.
It's time to doom scroll.
You don't know, could kill
the order of hornets.
Corpies infected monkeys.
The only news that matters with the most trusted name in the business. This is Headlines with Slim Fast on The Church of Laszlo.
Yo!
Yo! You've got, sons who play sports, and I'm sure they watch a lot of social media videos about improving their game, fitness, health, all that sort of thing. And I've seen this now. I saw it in the news today, and it's not the first time I've heard of this, but it seems like people are concerned, especially about young men who are into fitness, and they're taking these medications to try and help helped them get bigger, like, you know, not steroids,
creatine,
but everything. Yeah, like when I was a kid, it was Androstenedione because of McGuire. And creatine has been around for a long time. And when I worked at that pharmacy, that was one thing. Like, we sold a lot of creatine, and those guys that came in there
decided it's safe, I think.
Yeah, and they took a lot of that stuff. But I feel like those supplements have kind of come and gone. And like the Andro, I think they got rid of that pretty quickly. I took that. I bought that. Remember the Joe Weider's fitness stuff? I don't know if that still exists, but he was an old bodybuilder, and his stuff was the stuff you could buy at like Kmart and Walmart.
Right.
And I bought Andro from that company, just a big bottle. I could afford it in high school. I just remember I broke out all over my back, and it was bad.
But
and
did you get jacked?
I didn't. So I was like, my friends were like, this is not worth it, dude. They saw me getting a life vest at the lake, and they went, oh, Reed.
Yeah, but you got jacked.
I didn't, though.
You had to get a bigger life vest.
I didn't gain much weight at all. I was very, very disappointed. But then they stopped selling that stuff, and my mom and dad, I remember them saying, I hope you never took any of that. And I'm like, no. I'm just making sure that I cover up all the zits. But now they're worried about these things called SARMs. Have you heard your kids talk about these?
No.
Because I guess it's real popular, and I know that you can buy, or at least get advertised, plenty of things on sites like Instagram. I assume TikTok's the same way. On Instagram, there's stuff for hair loss, and you can even get
Hims.
Yeah, you can even get GLP-1 drugs, right?
At
least they're advertised to you, and they'll try and help you find a doctor. So I guess they're worried about young men and teens starting to take too many of these supplements and taking too many of these SARMs supplements.
And no one ever talks about the young men out there that see these jacked up guys on steroids, and everyone's trying to push them to look like that. And that's what I experienced when I was 15.
Landon Doss is now 20 and calls himself a natural bodybuilder. But to get bigger, he took SARMs, selective androgen receptor modulators, starting as a young teen.
Taking SARMs was one of like the worst decisions.
He says he should never done it. Apparently, it can cause long-term health problems, and you may not even experience that. You may not have a doctor say, like, hey, you know, obviously this is wrong, but you may now have this worry that it could develop at some point, that you could develop some sort of heart condition or just stuff that you weren't aware was a risk, because if you're seeing this stuff advertised online, it's totally unregulated. At least according to the thing that I was reading in Men's Health, they said they're totally unregulated. So, and they're being sold as cutting edge. They're being sold as like a human growth hormone or testosterone or whatever, but without needing a doctor's prescription. So if you've got kids who are into that stuff, I know your oldest son, especially, is a fitness guy and watches a lot of fitness stuff.
They both do.
I wonder if he's heard of it, and I wonder if he's ever been lured by it.
SARMs,
yeah. SARMS.
Okay.
Selective androgen or something. Yeah, ask
him
about
it. What's
it
do for you?
Because, well, I don't know if it actually works or not. They say that it does, it's supposed to help you build muscle. And some people say that it does work, and if you get the right one, some people say that it works just as well as steroids, I saw some people saying this morning, depending on, again, which ones you're getting. But yeah, you can buy it just about anywhere. I just don't know how many different types of SARMs are, and because it's unregulated, you don't know if what you're getting in the bottle is even what is advertised as being on the bottle, let alone whether or not it's safe or if it works, all those things. So I really thought you would have heard of it for some reason. Mm-mm. I thought maybe you'd say, I hear my boys talking about SARMs, or they've asked me. I wonder if they have seen it, and either he's smart enough to go, I'm not messing with that, or it could be the kind of thing, that maybe I wouldn't tell my parents.
Well,
I
didn't
tell
my job, mom. So it would be my money, so I would know.
But if he'd asked for some money to do something.
It goes on his card, I see it.
But if you bought it on Amazon, you'd know exactly what he bought?
Well, no, but I'd know if he bought something. I mean, I'd see it, and I'd be like, what'd you buy on Amazon?
Well, ask him about it. I'm curious if it's something he's heard of and if it's something he's tried. I'm guessing, based on the way they were talking about it this morning, he's definitely heard of it, and he probably knows some kids at school who take it, or who at least say that they take it. I'm not saying that I think he takes it. I'm just saying,
I don't know.
I think there's a very good chance that he's familiar with it. I thought really that you would be too, just because I know he's so into fitness. Hey, remember that E. coli outbreak we were talking about yesterday at McDonald's and how many different states and all those things? And then you guys started busting my balls and said I wasn't a man because I don't like onion. Do you guys remember all that? Became a whole big thing.
Nope.
I know it was a long time ago. It was almost 24 hours ago.
That
sound like us. That was basically the gist of it. There's been an E. coli outbreak, and we started talking about foods at McDonald's. Lazo said the best barbecue in Kansas City is the McDonald's McRib.
It's a conspiracy because Trump did the work there for, you know, a day or whatever, so now they're trying to make McDonald's back.
I haven't heard this.
This is a whole new conspiracy.
I don't know about the work there for a day thing.
Because Trump worked there, and so they're trying to make it look bad. And
he worked at McDonald's for a day as part of his campaign?
Didn't see that?
No, I told you I live in a bubble to stay away from that stuff.
Yeah.
It was like, what, I'm going to go...
They closed the McDonald's down and
so
had
he
like,
could go work?
Planned people come through, yeah.
Interesting. Like an undercover boss sort of thing. Put him in the hat and the whole deal, and he gets to go...
Yeah, he's working the fry counter, and he was surprised that they don't use their hands to put the fries in the bag.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know they don't use their hands. Oh, yeah, I guess they use that scooper thing. I'm sure people's hands touch that food plenty. But anyhow, they're trying to trace now the origins of this E. coli, which has killed at least one person, I think, hospitalized a few people. And now they're saying, you know where that E. coli might be coming from in those quarter pounders? Might be those onions.
As global restaurant giant McDonald's grapples with a deadly E. coli outbreak and the FDA investigates raw onions as well as the beef served on the quarter pounder as the potential source, a company identifying itself as Taylor Farms Colorado had removed yellow onions from the market produced out of our Colorado facility. This as a man in Colorado takes McDonald's to court, claiming in a new lawsuit he ate at a McDonald's on October 4th and was hospitalized.
Yeah, the first lawsuit about all this. I mean, if you go to the hospital because of something you ate at McDonald's and you're hearing other people say, yeah, there is this E. coli outbreak, and you're like, oh, it is from McDonald's, and I'm not the only one, I'd probably get a lawyer. I mean...
Well, you've been to McDonald's, you might as well say it.
Well, I think he probably also has some proof that he was in the hospital. He's probably got some doctor bills, things like that.
Go, tell him, just give him the symptoms.
I'm guessing the lawyer would like some sort of evidence that you actually
didn't feel good. You went
ate
to the doctor.
There, that you actually were sick, that you went to the hospital, something.
They test for it?
But who? The hospital?
Yeah.
I don't know if they can tell you, hey, you've got a E. coli, that's what it is.
Or is it just
they
had the
must
symptoms?
Because I remember there was that whole thing with the kids who got sick from that unpasteurized juice back in the 90s, and they couldn't figure out why kids kept getting sick, and then finally they realized, oh, it's E. coli. But you know what? I don't know if it's because they found the E. coli in the juice, or if they were able to test the kids once they already got sick and maybe do a stool sample. I'm not sure. But I'm not surprised that somebody's suing. And I think this is just God's way of letting you know you shouldn't be eating raw onion. Cook your onion. I said I like cooked onion. I just don't like it raw. And it sounds like God agrees with me.
Now, here you go. I asked him, do you know what SARMS is?
Mm-hmm.
He said, I do know what SARMS is. And then he said he thinks a guy that he knows took them, who is a guy that also I know.
Okay.
And he got jacked really quick.
Okay.
And I said, did you ever take them? He said, nah, they're just like steroids, just not regulated. I said, got it. You ever think of taking them? And he said, nah, not worth, this is exactly what he said, not worth the back knee for a 315
Dude,
bench.
I wish someone had told me that. I didn't even get the 115 bench.
And he said, you guys talking about that on the air, SARMS? I said, yeah.
Yeah, they're in the news today. Stay away from that stuff, man. You don't need that back knee. It's not worth it. I wonder if it really does help, though. No, I'm all about it.
That guy got jacked.
Yeah.
And I did see him one day. We were going to the gym, and I was like, man, is that so-and-so?
I wonder how long these have been a thing. Once they hit the news like this and they start talking about kids using it, I'm sure their
days... It's been around for a while, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm sure their days are numbered, too, that they'll start regulating it. Because I can't imagine that they... If it really is that potent, it really can get you jacked, they don't need to be selling that stuff to kids over-the-counter without... I mean, you don't need to be giving that to kids anyway. When I was a kid and people took steroids at school, and I don't know if they were actually taking them, I assumed they were because they had needles, and people said, oh, so-and-so's taking steroids. I always wondered where they got them. Like, who? What drug dealer?
I
guess you get them at the gym, maybe?
I took them in high school.
Is that where you get them? Is from a gym?
There's a guy that, we all belong to the same gym, and he was jacked, and I think one of my buddies asked him about it. He's like, yeah, I can get them for you. And he got us it was a full syringe.
Okay, so...
And, it came with a thing, you pull it out,
It's not your coke and weed dealer. He's not the steroid guy. You go to the guy at Gold's Gym.
The guy at the gym.
He's the one who knows where to get that stuff. I've known people who've taken it, taken them. I know someone who got really big and then not so big. And I said, man, it seems like you're working out a ton. no offense, but you were huge for a while. Well, yeah, I ran out of money to buy steroids. Yeah. And I was like, wait, you were taking steroids? Oh, yeah. And I was, you know, kind of shocked by this. You, I would have never guessed. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I love them. I just, they're expensive. And you got to you gotta be able to afford it. And you got to cost this much per month. So, you know, it's just one of those things. If I get a raise, maybe I'll start taking more steroids. I watched that documentary about steroids, Bigger, Stronger, Faster. I don't know how misleading that thing was. And it's been, how old is that now? 15 years probably. But that guy, at least in that documentary, tried to make it seem like maybe we've exaggerated the risks a bit. And then, of course, if you're doing a ton of steroids for years and years, that it can become a problem. But he also points out in that documentary how many people have been taking a ton of steroids for years and years and years.
A lot.
Especially those old bodybuilder guys that he said had just taken them forever. And he made it seem like a lot of the side effects are reversible, like the, you know, your testicles shrinking up, stuff like that. I always assume that when you hear about these bodybuilders that are getting older that have heart surgery, like Stallone or Schwarzenegger, that that had something to do with steroids. But that could just be because they're guys who worked out. I know.
Those guys still look good.
I know. And I think, well, you don't look like that just from exercising, not at 80. So whatever HGH and whatever else Stallone is taking, it's not. It also didn't kill him at 50, right?
No,
he's almost 80 years old.
He's almost 80.
He looks pretty damn good.
He's still on TV shows.
That's not a very good PSA to tell kids to stay away from that stuff.
Time for a smoke break.
Fire it up.
The Church of Laszlo on 98.9 The Rock.
Okay, so just tell me what you would do.
Okay.
In this scenario. You know, my car's messed up, right? I told you about that a while back. There's started driving weird. I've got like 60,000 miles on it, and I probably don't take very good care of it. I do kind of drive my cars. I tend to drive my cars like they're rentals, so that's partially my fault. But it started to act up a little bit, and then I look online, and I start finding plenty of stuff. But I'm sure it's just like WebMD. If you're looking for something, you'll probably find it. But I found stuff where they're saying, oh, that's, you're experiencing the dreaded this. And I'm like,
on your car, why can't you tell me what it is?
Well, just it's I don't know if it matters, but they're calling it the dreaded shutter, and they're saying, oh, you know, this happens, and here's the model years, and here's, and my buddy's a mechanic that I grew up with. He owns his own shop or whatever, and I've talked to him about it, and he's basically like, just get rid of it, right? Which
like
is kind of
done.
How
like
he is.
Done?
Well, here's the thing: he's a Ford guy. So if any time there's a problem with a Ford,
Cadillac?
If it's any Ford product, he's always like, oh, I'm sure it's not, then let me take a look. You know, he makes a lot of, he gives Fords a lot of leeway. How's that? And he'll say, oh, it's nothing, no big deal. Bring her on and I'll get it done on a Sunday morning.
Maybe he's right about it.
I mean, maybe, but that's something that he's known amongst the friends group as being like, you know, if you get, I know people who are mutual friends who have said, They've been going out to buy a car, and it might come down to a Ford or a Chevy or a Ford and a Chrysler, and they go, ah, you know what? I probably should get the Ford, otherwise he's never going to work on my
course.
He's never going to work on my car for me. So that could be part of the problem. I don't know, but he's also just saying it's, and it's transmission related, which is always dreaded, right? Anytime you got to do something to your transmission, but it's also the kind of thing that can be it can be disguised for a little while. And I know that seems weird, but you change the transmission fluid, and then when the car is really, really cold, I don't know why, but if you haven't driven it for like 2 days especially, you can get about a half an hour of drive time out of this where you don't experience it at all, which would give me a window to trade it. I wouldn't feel right selling it. I wish I had a little less of a conscience about that, but and it might even be less to do with my conscience and more to do with fear of that person coming back. But either way, I wouldn't feel right selling someone the car the way that it is. But to trade it into a dealership, you know, if it, so I can either get the car fixed, which, like I said, he's saying not to do and is going to cost a lot of money, or I can get a car. Now, my brother has been saying, just get a car, just get a car, just get a car. Don't invest much money into this, just get a car.
Yeah.
So I've been looking at cars, and I feel like my brother has been helping me a lot. He likes doing this. We like doing this, but this has been going on for some time now. And now it's like last week I went out and test drove a car, and because my brother's been basically
what kind
saying
of test
like,
drive?
So that's part of it is it's an EV. I test drove an EV, but we've got my fiance has a car, right? So we're a two car household.
Sure.
So you know, and she pointed out because I've been the whole EV thing. I'm like, I don't know, but with road trips, and she's like, Reed, Every single time we've taken a road trip, we rent a car anyway.
Yeah,
we
sure.
never take our cars on road trips. So why do you keep... And I go, oh, yeah, I guess you're right. She's like, plus, if you're just worried about driving it to the lake and back, then take my car. Sure. I have my car. I'm like, yeah, you're right. Which is what my brother keeps saying. Like, once you own it for a while, you'll be over that fear.
Okay.
So that part is kind of as close to being settled as can be. But now the thing is I found some places. My brother has been sending me these cars and saying, like, these are good deals. You need to go find out if there's any reason not to buy this car, because here's the price, and they're offering the rebate, and here's the warranty and everything else. It's all good to go. So last weekend, I kind of started to do that, and I kind of knew that there was a good chance that the car dealership would tell me, we're not going to loan you money, or if we are going to loan you money to do this, it's going to be a really, really bad, bad interest rate, that whole kind of thing. Which I was thinking, I'll just take the really bad interest rate, and I'll, do whatever I got to do. It's my fault that I let my credit get like this. I'm going to have to do something to fix it. You have to have a car, right? So this is what I'll do. It turns out it looks like I'm going to have Brooke sign my loan.
Mm.
And I don't know why I find this very emasculating. Also, I find it quite just embarrassing. It's embarrassing that the family would hear, that if that got back to them, like, well, I had to sign for a loan for him. I just don't like having that there. That, people talking about, like, that car, he better make payments on time because it's her loan, basically.
Right.
Well, you can call it co-signing all you want. When your credit's as bad as mine, it's her loan.
Right.
They're giving you the loan because of her.
Right.
So it's like that, or I could just try and fix what I've got or figure out some way to limp it, along as long as possible. But as my brother pointed out, if you make the car that you got any worse, then right now there's a chance you might be able to trade this thing in. You might even be able to get them to give you what you owe on it, because I've had that car for a while. So
well,
I'm
what's the problem
the
here? Just getting the loan?
Am I crazy for?
Well, you need the car. So, like, look, it's not ideal, but you need the car.
I know, but
what's your other option?
Yeah.
Well, like I said, I could just try and drive this thing until it completely falls apart.
But by
then
the way,
I'm really screwed.
You'd be in the same scenario,
yeah,
right?
But even if you drove if you drove it and you hit it or whatever and put transmission fluid in it or whatever you got to do, eventually it's going to give out.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to do this anyway. Your credit's not getting better in 6 months.
Right.
Not enough to get the loan on your own.
There is one other option.
What's that?
Well, I could buy an electric bicycle. I don't live that far from work. And then if I really need to go somewhere, we've got a car. She works from home a lot of times. I mean...
Sure. I mean, in the winter.
Do we really need two cars?
Nah,
it would be cold in the winter, but it doesn't get that cold here anymore.
It gets pretty cold.
And on those really cold days, I take an Uber, right? Is it the end of the world? I take an Uber, probably cheaper. Take an Uber a few times a year than it would be to be making car payments every month. Not to mention my dignity. I mean, I guess I wouldn't have much dignity riding a bicycle in the wintertime. You'd be surprised.
Like,
these electric bicycles can go a long way. It's basically a motorcycle.
Snow cone's right.
You're
not going to hear me say that very often, but snow cone's right. It's not an option. Having an e-bike as your mode of transportation is not an option.
But we've
not
got
in this city.
Car.
It's not in this city.
Talk about it like it is. It's just wasting time.
Right.
It's just to get to work and back,
It's not. Not in this city. It's not. You don't live close enough to work.
It's not ideal.
You don't live close enough to work for it to be an option.
I don't
live downtown. You have to drive on 75th Street on an e-bike. It's just like, you don't want to do that. You can't do it. It's going to snow, and you're going to be like, what am I going to do? And she's going to take the car, and you're going to be like, I have to call an Uber. You just have her sign the loan. Whatever. She lives in your house.
I know, but...
It's your house.
I know, but... Boy, there's also something about co-signing a loan. I mean, look, we're getting married and all that, but... somebody co-signing a loan.
Did you ask her to do it?
Oh, she's been offering.
Well, then just do it.
She's been offering, but once she does it, that's a lot of responsibility on my end.
Why?
Because now I got to make these payments on time, and the length of whatever this loan is, it's like a real commitment, and I know we've lived together for
a
long time.
Car
we're married, and her car's paid off.
Well, then, if worse comes to worse, was this a car that she would like?
Yeah.
Well, if worse comes to worse, it doesn't work out, give her the new car, she can take over the payments, you take the old one.
Well, Sure, yeah. I'm just saying if she wanted to, if there was some sort of a falling out between us, now you've got this thing where you could say, hey, but you got to pay me for this car. You got to pay the rest of this car off. Yeah. I'm taking it to court, whatever. I mean, that's
so what?
It's a pretty big...
Of all the things that could go wrong, you having to pay for it, eventually pay for the car, just sell it and whatever. Pay her the difference.
It's so embarrassing, though, isn't it?
Well, I mean, it's not ideal.
It's so embarrassing. How did we get here? I know you know what I'm... I'm not saying that yours is as bad as mine, but I know we both complained.
Well, mine's horrible.
We let our credit get really, really bad in the last few years. And once it gets bad, it takes so long to get back. And that's the thing that's so, you just feel defeated because you spend like 10 years and you get it good. And I mean, I got it like great. Really, really good. I had great credit for the first time in my life ever, somewhere in my 30s. And then that divorce and things started to cost more. And your mortgage goes up a little bit because of, you know, property taxes or whatever. And the next thing you know, you're like, holy crap, my credit's going down. And then it's like, holy crap, my credit's on the crapper. And you go, well, I remember what it takes to fix this. And it takes a really long time. Yeah. And you just feel like, I don't even want to try.
Of course.
Why even bother?
But.
Why even bother? But of course, she's like an accountant, so her credit's great. And
yeah, whatever.
Just have her sign and make sure it's never an issue.
Have you ever Have you ever had someone sign a loan for you?
No.
You've never had to do it?
Mm-mm.
Me neither.
No.
It's a little, you know, it's just something. Maybe because I've never done it. Maybe that's all it is. Maybe it's perfectly normal and I've just never done it.
It's not perfectly normal to have your girlfriend co-sign a loan on your car. It's not.
Well, she's, you know, my fiance. You know, you're right. Okay, it's not.
Right.
It's not perfectly normal. I'm just saying.
She knows that you know it, or her dad's going to know it, everybody's going to know it. Like, it's out there. By the way, you just put on the radio, too. You did that for cover. Now everybody knows. Everybody knows you're out in front of it, so just have her sign the goddamn loan. Although, I wouldn't. Why are you getting an EV car? Like, what are you doing?
Because it's cheap, really cheap. I'm trying to save money. So.
I know. Like, can't you get a regular car for cheap?
I could, but I just could run into the same problem that I'm in now, which is another... Exactly. And I could just run into another problem like I've got now, which is now your transmission is going out again. You know, cars are expensive, so... And when I don't have a lot of extra money sitting around for these emergency repairs, it's like,
how many miles has this car got on there?
Well, there's quite a few of them, but all of them are pretty low mileage.
If that's what you want.
There's been lots and lots of back and forth and talk, and it's not what I'd love to, if I had, you know, the option, what I'd like to get is another truck. I miss having my truck. It's been a pain in the ass not having one. Having one for 10 years and then not having one at the house, but they're too expensive. So Brooke said, she's like, I don't know. Well, don't worry about all that.
I'm just curious.
There's a couple.
Just tell us.
Why does it matter? You're already making fun of it. So.
I'm not making fun of you. I'm just saying.
Well, let's just wait. You know, we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
What is it?
I've been looking at a couple. There's the Bolts, you know.
Yeah, I like the Bolts.
Yeah, okay. So.
What else?
Yeah. There's the one that Snowcone really likes,
What's
the Mustang.
Wrong with EVs? Why are we?
I don't know, but he started asking me if I really wanted an EV.
I don't have a big problem with it. I'm just saying, is that what you want? Like,
I like
you
the
know,
warranty.
If you're gonna take the
and
loan and you're gonna get your girlfriend to sign the loan, then the one thing I wouldn't do on that is get something that you don't want. So now you've got a loan in someone else's name on a car that you don't want. That's bothering you anyways because you got the loan. And now
I do want it.
Well, you got a loan on a car that you're not all that excited about. If you're going to do it. Get the thing that you want. You'll feel better about paying it off and taking a loan from her. That's all I'm saying. Don't take a lesser car because you think it'd be, you know, less offensive to her or whatever.
If she's willing to sign the loan
and you can pay for it, then get the car you want.
It is what I want. No, it is what I want.
Those Mustangs
it's what I want.
Man.
The only thing that I would want more is a pickup
truck.
That's one of them that he's been sending me,
Those things are awesome.
So, what?
Nothing.
There was definitely a tone there.
He thinks they're like pussy because they're EVs.
I don't think that.
There was a tone. It looked like. It seemed like that.
I just think that. See, Snow, you don't have to listen to him.
I can tell by your tone.
We've talked about EVs before, and you've been reluctant to get one.
I've been very reluctant.
And like, I'm not ready to do that. Maybe in a few years you'll do it.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, if you're going to get a loan with your girlfriend's goddamn name on it, then you might as well get a car that you feel good about.
Yeah. Well, I do feel good about this.
Okay.
Now,
well, then fine. Yes, this is the first time we've ever had a conversation where you said you feel good about it.
Yes, no, I'm excited about the idea
truck?
Of that.
You're looking at Cybertrucks, aren't you?
A little too expensive. But EVs, about a 99% chance that's what it'll be. See the look again?
We know what it is.
I know.
It does take some getting used to. The Church of Laszlo.
Okay, everybody just calm down.
On 98.9 The Rock.
You think people get offended a little too easily?
Sure.
I mean, when's the last time you were offended about something? Like, actually offended. I told you I saw the boner pill commercial during the baseball game, and my nephew was there, and I was like, oh, I get why people are weirded out by this, because it wasn't just the commercials. Like, what they were saying in the commercial was pretty graphic, and I was... But, as Laszlo pointed out to me, I don't have kids, so he's 13 years old. He knows all that stuff. He's seen all that stuff, and just felt a little awkward. I mean, that stuff's always going to be awkward when you're the only kid in the room, and I would think maybe it's not anymore. I don't know, but when we were kids, that nude scene was the thing you didn't want to come on television when you were with your parents. But as far as like getting,
I guess for you it didn't matter. You masturbated in the back seat of the car.
Okay,
and in the same hotel.
They weren't in the car.
You masturbated in the back seat while they were in the driving.
They were in church. They were in church.
No, that's a different time.
No, this is changing.
Yeah, you masturbated on a vacation road trip. Well, they were up
in
front.
The motel
while you were driving.
While they were driving and in a motel, you've told us.
Well, I'm sure I at some point masturbated in the back seat, but
you
threw my pants. Through my pants. They didn't know what I was doing. Okay. It's probably, you know, you never know. It may have happened in front of you. I may have done it right here, and you didn't know it.
I would hope not.
I could be very discreet, but it is hard to think about. The last time I was really offended, enough to go protest something. I can't. I've never been so offended that I would go protest something because this is offensive to me.
Never.
Okay, well, let me tell you about what people are offended about now in D.C. And maybe you've seen this, but it seems ludicrous to me.
The Church of Laszlo.
The Church of Laszlo. On 98.9, The Rock. The Rock. The Rock.
I know you're a big pizza guy, Laszlo.
Yeah, I like pizza.
Have you ever heard of And Pizza in D.C.? I don't know if it's just in D.C.
A-N-D?
It's like an ampersand. They call it And Pizza.
Okay, got it.
It's an ampersand pizza. You ever heard of it?
No.
No? Okay. I hadn't either. But you have probably heard of the former mayor of D.C., Marion Barry. There was a...
I heard of him. I smoked crack with him.
Right. Exactly. You know who he is. There was a scandal, a drug scandal. Kind of like that. What was the guy's name in Canada? Ford? Something Ford?
Rob.
Rob. Was his crack? Was that?
Where's Rob?
And when
Rob
I was, Ford. When I went to Detroit for your wedding, Laszlo, I think Kwame Kilpatrick, is that his name, was still mayor, and there were billboards everywhere, and then later on I heard there were some scandals. I don't know if they were drug-related, but just scandals about him.
Sure.
He was in court and stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, he went to jail.
That's what I was going to say. He might have even gone to jail. I don't know. It happens sometimes, these big city mayors, to get caught up. Must be a tough job. A lot of, stress. A lot of pressure. You probably got a lot of people offering you stuff. It's tempting. Well, so Marion Barry, if you don't know... was the mayor of D.C., had a drug scandal. And this pizza place, And Pizza, has decided to use that common knowledge amongst D.C. residents to promote a food item. It is a dessert food item.
Mm-hmm.
It's a dessert kind of poking fun at the mayor. They're
Isn't that mayor dead now? I mean, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, he's dead. He's which I guess, you know, could be part of this, is that he's not here to defend himself. It's kind of like Arnold Palmer. You know, you're talking about someone who's not with us anymore. Is that? And you're just trying to sell dessert pizza. I don't know. But this D.C. pizza place is selling these powdered pizza knots, and they're calling them Marion Barry knots. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And in some of the advertising, like in the pictures that you would see in the posters and some of the ads, it looked like there was cocaine being measured on scales, but the cocaine was sugar, right? Powdered sugar looks a lot like cocaine, And there you basically have it. They're Marion Barry knots, they're covered in the sugar, and they're really working the drug scandal aspect into this. People were so offended by this and so upset.
They were, really.
Yes. The food chain not only pulled it, but there were people outside of that store this week protesting on the news with big signs talking about how inappropriate this is. They also said it was racist, which I don't know. Is it racist?
Well, it looks like I'm looking at their menu now. Did you do that? They have, like, the farmer's daughter, the farmer's other daughter, the good bundle, the basic bitch munchie bundle, the drip munchies broke ass bundle.
that they use tongue-in-cheek naming for a lot of their food items, and that they're known for that. Now, I don't know if those other things have gotten them backlash or not, but they certainly got backlash for this, and they actually pulled it, at least when this article was written, I'm looking at it from today, they said that they pulled it. But look, it's they're berry-filled pastry knots, right? So there's your berry. They're Mary and Berry knots. They're covered in powdered sugar, which easy to make look like cocaine.
Okay, sure.
Is this really worth taking a day off work, going down to the Ann Pizza and protesting?
No.
And as soon as they say it's racist, I'm like, oh, wow. Well, now I don't know. If I miss something here where it's racist, then who am I to say?
It's a menu item that's getting a lot of attention.
Not in D.C.
Not in D.C.
It's seriously all about the Ann Pizza Mary and Berry Knots. Doughy, sugary creations advertised to, quote, blow you away. The name is an obvious reference to former D.C. Mayor Marion Barry. An online ad campaign even used baggies of white powder in a mirror to symbolize the sugar used to put on the knots.
Now, you took slang from the past where we used to take the knots and bag up cocaine.
Now, he says that. He's like, we used to bag up the cocaine in time and knots. And I thought, they may not have even thought of that. Maybe they did.
Right, yeah.
Maybe they did. But I think the part where the dessert has berries in them and they're covered in the powdered sugar, that might have been enough. But leading up to the launch, they had teased this as a new secret menu item inspired by none other than the city's vibrant political scene. That's how it was advertised at first. Then it says, the Mary and Berry Knots have enough powdered sugar that will have customers bumping elbows to order and even force the DEA to look twice. Ha ha.
The DEA.
Yeah. Mm. Mm. Ha ha. You'll have to look twice because what is that?
Right.
We're bumping elbows.
Yeah. All right.
How is this offensive?
I can't imagine.
I know that conservatives talk about snowflakes a lot, right? People being snowflakes.
We got a lot of them on the left. A lot of them on the left.
I think there's a lot of them. Maybe
just don't order it.
Oh, right. And also, though, but how is it even offensive? If you are related to this guy,
yeah, maybe.
Then maybe you're like, ah, they're still
you're friends with them,
dragging my dad's name through the mud. Damn it, he's dead, and they still won't leave him alone about the damn drug scandal. You know, but to take time off of work and go down there and protest this place and then start shouting, not in D.C.
Yeah, like where else?
Not in D.C. Well, why would you do it here?
Wouldn't make sense in Toledo.
Right. People don't really know who Marion Barry is. I guess here we could have the Kwame Kilpatrick burger.
Right.
But I think people in Kansas City would be like, I don't think I know that name. Is that familiar at all? Yeah, it doesn't really make sense it would be anywhere else. I've seen people get upset about odd things. I've seen people get upset about things that would not upset me. But I thought this really, no pun intended, kind of takes the cake.
More easily offended nowadays.
Faux outrage. What do we call it? Is it? It's selective outrage.
Well, yeah, I don't even think it's selective anymore. It's just everything.
It's just be mad at everything.
Yeah, and you'll be like, not in my town. You won't make fun of Mary and Barry in my town. By the way, I was in D.C. when Mary and Barry was getting busted. That city was filled with T-shirts making fun of Mary and Barry. And the people who were against them. I remember there was this lady jogging, and I was walking down the street, and I was with some friends, and I was looking. I was like, oh, these are Mary and Barry T-shirts, and she was jogging next to me. I'm like, it says the B line. She turned around. Like, I'm a very athletic, young, mid-30s woman, right, jogging through the heart of D.C., and turned around, and she goes, it says the bitch lied. Mm. I'm like, so they, like, it was wildly popular on both sides.
Well, right, they're still talking about it all these years
later. Right, when
Mary
and Barry was in trouble. So it's like, all these years later, somebody makes a donut, whatever.
Was that the truth?
Just because people are like, oh, we've always been like this. We haven't always been like that. Nobody was pro. There was T-shirts on the side of the road people could buy making fun of Mary and Barry.
Yeah, I don't believe
and
for a second
also the
that people would have protested this.
No, I'm telling you, they didn't. I was there.
Yeah.
Like, it's rare when I can say, no, I was there.
Yeah.
But this is one time where I can be like, no, I was there, and there was T-shirts everywhere making fun of Mary and Barry.
Is that the trip that you were there, and I think you were there for the 4th of July and watched the fireworks display over the monument and smoked a joint?
I did.
Yeah.
I smoked a joint at the Washington Monument.
I remember you telling me at the time, you're like, not saying that it's like a bucket list thing that you have to do, but going to D.C. for the 4th of July is...
You should do it.
If you've ever considered it.
You should do it. If you're going to go to D.C., you should go then. It's awesome.
time to pass the collection plate.
Give with a joyful heart, and you will be blessed.
The Church of Laszlo on 98.9 The Rock.
I was trying to figure out why our buddy Joel broke up with his girlfriend.
Well, he told you.
He's on Twitch. Twitch.tv/Church of Laszlo if you want to find out the story.
He tried to say that she's crazy. Then he tried to say that she kept getting texts from her ex-husband.
Both of those things can be true.
Right. Nothing that I see there says you got to break up, but I mean, it's your relationship, so whatever. But I guess maybe maybe missing some of the details here about what kind
of
stuff
you
was she doing.
What time did you get up this morning, Snowcone?
Today?
Yeah, what time did you get up?
Today, you mean?
Yeah, this afternoon, like 12:45.
Hey, that's...
It's an improvement, right?
That's 45-minute
improvement. Baby steps, guys. Baby steps.
45-minute improvement.
You just lay in bed for a while?
No. I mean, I did for a long time, but I was sleeping.
But do you lay there awake sometimes? And just like, please take me back to sleep, God? Do you do that?
No. Usually I wake up and panic.
Why?
Because I'm late.
Oh. You don't... So up until 12:30,
yeah,
you don't wake up?
Yeah, you woke up at 12:30, and then you didn't get here until 2. That's an hour and a half.
I said 12:45.
Okay.
And then I went and took a shower, and I have a hard time.
Oh, he showered.
Oh, yeah. And you just couldn't get out of the shower? It just felt too good?
I honestly stayed in the shower way longer than I should, yeah.
Were you masturbating?
No. It's like being in the shower.
Lazo knows about long showers. He used to talk about that when he's not feeling good. Just put his head against the wall.
I do it every morning.
Just sit there and think about
it. Doesn't matter if I'm feeling good or not. I just put my head against the wall.
Wait for the hot water to...
Yep, just, okay. Wash it away. Wash away the pain.
Yep, I get it. I get it. That's why I don't do it. Can't get in there. I'll never get out. So I just don't shower. Joel, we're going to need more details, so please. I know we busted your balls for sending really long messages in the past, but send a long message and explain. We're going to need a better explanation about what she was doing and why it mattered that her ex was texting her.
Oh, he said stop it.
Like Glasgow said, that's not her fault that her ex was texting her.
If she said it's impossible to just type out after I smoked a weed, but... I guess you've broken up with him like 10 times. They had to go to ER visits, going above and beyond. Her sister moved in with us, so that's the whole thing. So there you go. I get it.
That sounds like
just, you know, drama, chaos. You don't take it for so long.
My cup of tea.
I get it, Joel.
Yeah, it's not everybody's thing. I like a little excitement.
Well, you can only do it for so long.
Well, that's probably true. Yeah. You know, who's trying to do it forever? You know,
right.
Can't.
You should have had her co-sign a loan for you, Joel.
That's how you get together.
Now you
got at least 5 years. I mean, it just depends on how many months. But, yeah, if that's what you're looking for. But just be glad you didn't, since it sounds like you wanted to get out of this. All right, so look, these people are making fun of us for stuff. Apparently we all do, whether we admit it or talk about it or not. And maybe they're right, I don't know. But one of the things that they said is that when you're in your early 20s, you could have 15 people turn up at your house in a moment's notice. Just text them, call them. They'll be over there within an hour or two. They say by the time you're 30, it takes months of planning. And by the time you're 40, there may not be anybody who's wanting to come over.
Nobody's coming over.
That's true.
That is true.
I'm fine with it.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, right?
Well, I don't want people coming over.
Exactly. I don't need people just showing up. And in my 20s, I did like it. It was fine. The door was unlocked. You want to come over? That's fine.
It was fun.
But I don't need that anymore.
No.
Just showing up at my house.
Trying to watch The Penguin.
Exactly.
Which, by the way, did you watch it?
Don't mess up my... guys are ruined. I'm still two episodes behind now.
How have you watched? Three?
There's two of them left, so I've watched three of them, I think.
Do you like it?
I do like it, so come on. I tried to just politely avoid your conversation yesterday, so that's all I'm asking.
I didn't say anything. I just said that's what I'd be doing.
I know, but sometimes you like to ruin stuff. That's all.
You don't have to be such a bitch about everything.
Another thing that they say, you're constantly...
I don't want to go to your house with that attitude.
I don't want anyone over to my house, okay?
Good.
I agreed with
you.
I don't want anyone over.
What? And someone said The Penguin sucks. That doesn't make any sense.
Not everyone can like everything, but they're wrong because, I mean, objectively, it's got great reviews. Right. Audiences and critics agree. It's a good show with a good cast.
Audience and critics alike?
Yeah. They're raving about the new Penguin on Warner Brothers, whatever the hell. Another thing that happens as an adult is that you're constantly toggling between wondering if it's too late to drink coffee or just like if it's too late or too early to drink alcohol. Can I keep drinking coffee or can I start drinking alcohol?
Another shot. Do we have any?
See?
I don't ever think about that. I'll drink coffee or booze when I want.
You never think late at night, like, man, coffee sounds good, but it might make it hard for me to fall asleep later.
I have decaf.
Well, okay, sure. So then decaf.
Yeah. But if I wanted to have coffee, I would, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever, I'll have coffee. I'll have coffee and booze whenever the hell I want.
Yeah.
And if I think it's going to keep me up and I'm all right with that, then I'm all right with it.
Well, there's got to be, with the booze, sometimes maybe you go like, it's 9 a.m. No, never. I know that's a common thing a lot of people do.
If I've got time?
They say it's 5:30 somewhere, things like that. You're never like, ah, this might mean I have a problem if I do it right now. Because we make these little deals with ourselves in our mind. Like, if I don't drink until after noon.
I don't think about it.
Then it'll be fine. At least it's afternoon. What is the time that people always say? Is 5:30 the time that people always say? Is that the old?
5 o'clock.
Oh, 5 o'clock somewhere. Okay.
Quitting time, kid.
Quitting time. They say when you're an adult, you have a favorite burner on your stovetop.
Okay. I do have a favorite
burner. Well, everybody has a favorite burner on their stovetop because it's literally called the power burner. Like, it's, yeah.
Front right.
And it's.
Mine's the left.
On a lot of them, it's bigger, more powerful than the other ones. And it could be, too, that maybe one of them isn't working as well as it used to, but you're supposed to have a favorite.
I just picked the one on the left. It's closer to the sink.
That's. There you go. Perfectly fine. Do you have a gas stove or electric?
Gas.
Okay. So do you have the. Are yours different sizes? Like each one?
The ones in the back are bigger.
Oh, they're bigger in the back? Oh, okay. Mine's got the little one in the middle, and it doesn't matter. But yeah, they're all different sizes. So I just thought that everyone, there's one of them that's got, it's labeled like, hey, this is the one. This is the power burner. That's the one.
I think mine says power burner.
Maybe that's a General Electric thing. I don't know. You probably have something nice like a Viking. I could see you having a Viking. Or what's almost as nice as a Viking? A Jensen? Jen Air. You have that, don't you?
I do.
Yeah. Well, what kind of dishwasher do you have? Because you say it doesn't work.
Well, I had the one that matches, and it broke. And I got a different one, a Samsung or something, and that broke, too. So
okay. Here's one they say that every adult does. I don't do this. They say that when you get something delivered, you spend time debating whether or not you should keep the cardboard box because you might need it later. I don't do that.
No, I throw it out.
I'm getting plenty of cardboard boxes. What am I going to use that thing for later?
I don't think about it.
Christmas presents? I'm moving? No, I don't do that. Sorry, you don't have me pegged, okay? I mean, some of these, sure.
I mean, you got all of them so far.
Yeah, but the box thing, I mean, sure, at Christmas time, yes, I may save them. Or if I think I'm, or know that I may be moving soon, then fine. They say that we all get irrationally upset if they move things around at the grocery store. Well, sure. It's upsetting. I'm going in there. I know what I want. I know what I need. I know where it's at. I've been to the store a million times, and now you've moved this whole place around? Well, yes, that is upsetting. That doesn't make it irrational.
I wouldn't even notice.
I'm upset for a reason. Well, just because you go to different grocery stores all the time?
Well, yeah, I do go to different grocery stores. And if I can't find something, I'm always like, why can I never find this? Right? So I always think it's me. I'm not like a great grocery shopper where I'm like, oh, there's, you know, here's my 15 stops and I know what aisle it is. I literally never know what aisle it is. I know where the frozen stuff is, of course, right? I know where the steaks are, but if you were like, go find the soup aisle, I'm in that grocery store twice a week. I'd have to look up at the signs and be like, where's the soup aisle? I just don't know.
Yeah, that might not bother me so much.
It's just something my brain doesn't, you know, keep
if up they with. Move the milk around, the bread, like the necessities, that's...
I never know where the bread is.
They put it at the back of the store with the milk.
I always got to go look for the bread aisle.
Hmm.
Yeah.
You have your groceries delivered, though, don't you? A lot of times? So that makes
sometimes.
It easier, too. Yeah. I have them, I'd say every fifth time, something like that, I have mine delivered.
20% of the time, yeah.
Okay, so getting irrationally upset. I'd say it's not irrationally upset, but sure, I get upset. Now, this next one, I don't think you do, but I will admit I do. They say that as an adult... You become this person who needs to always clean the kitchen, even if you had takeout. It doesn't matter if you've really used the kitchen all day. The kitchen has to be cleaned at some point. I won't go to bed without cleaning
That's
the kitchen.
Not me.
It usually ends up happening several times throughout the day because my house is not overly clean. But maybe that's like the one area I can have control of this one thing where I go. And when I was a kid, my dad always said, you don't want to wake up and come down to make coffee. Dishes in the sink.
I understand it.
And I had done that, especially in my 20s, where I'm like, God, this is depressing. And all this leftover stuff, just a reminder of all the horrible decisions I made the night before. So before bed, I like to have it. It's like the reset button.
I do it first
thing. When you start
in
the morning. Oh, so you start with it each day.
Yeah, I don't mind leaving stuff around and then wake up in the morning, but I do it, you know, grab a trash bag or whatever and do it before I have coffee or anything. Like walk down in my underwear and a t-shirt and boom. All right, throw out all this trash, take the trash out. If there's some dishes in there, then, you know, I'll make that decision. How many dishes? If there's a couple forks and a coffee cup, then they might stay in there. If it's starting to build up, then I'll wash them.
The worst is like you wake up on a Monday and you were watching football the day before and you had pizza or something delivered and the living room is just stacked with pizza boxes.
Yeah.
Just empty trash everywhere. That doesn't bother you? It's a bit of a bummer.
No, just because I just do it first thing. So it's like, all right, just pick up all this stuff and go.
Yeah.
Like, I make it like, you know, it's never really that bad. So it's like one quick, throw out all this crap, right? I'm not going to get into vacuuming that early or whatever, but yeah, just like pick up everything up.
Yeah.
I do it first thing before I do anything.
I like to pretend, I'm like, treat my life like it's a hotel or like a booth at a restaurant where I'm going to pretend like no one else, like I'm the first person to eat at this booth. I like to pretend like whatever's happened in my house didn't just happen. Mm. With sex, soon as we're done, everything needs to be cleaned up, put back exactly how it was beforehand.
That's
everything
a weird thing.
Back to where it goes. I don't want to be reminded of what just happened here.
No, yeah.
And I certainly don't want to wake up to that.
She doesn't.
And if I wake up to that food, then I'm reminded of the poor dietary choices I made the day before, maybe the drinking, all those different things.
Sure.
So if I start with a clean place, it's like going into a clean hotel room. You know?
No, that makes sense.
Like having that, when you are at a hotel, if they don't make your bed while you're gone, you come back.
You're still making your bed every day?
I haven't been, but I need to.
He's on my
depressed pants, man. That guy.
You do it first. Just like before you even go to the bathroom, just make it. I'm telling you. Because even just putting it off an hour before you leave the house, which I guess you don't have an hour, but
just don't even sleep under the blanket.
Yeah, that's Lazo's thing. Now you never have to make the bed.
No,
again.
I still don't. But I just need to. It's really just folding a blanket and putting the pillows back.
You should make the bed. Yeah. I don't know who started telling me that. I don't know if I heard it in an AA group.
I need to.
Or,
I was doing good for a while.
They say it in the military, right?
Yeah.
That they tell you you got to make your bed.
Mm-hmm.
And it does do something for you psychologically.
Yeah, you accomplish something.
Yeah.
That's why I like doing that quick task of throwing out all the trash first thing in the morning.
Right.
It gives me some sort of sense of accomplishment, then I can move on.
Yeah.
Then I can have coffee and watch TV or play video games in the morning and not feel guilty.
Yeah.
I already did something.
Right.
If I did it the night before, then I may feel like I need to do something in the morning.
That could be. Maybe
see,
I'm doing
so
that.
I feel like if I knock a couple things out, boom.
Well, I do
now
know that.
I reward myself with coffee.
Right. I do know that coming home from work and the bed still being unmade, that's a real, like, oh, I never made my bed. Now you're home from work. It's all day. Is it too late to make the bed now? You know, I still will do it.
Yeah, but you sleep under everything. So even if, like, where...
Yeah, the bed's a mess.
What Snow Cone's saying, like, I don't know if I folded my blanket today, but even if I go into my room, it literally is just one blanket that would be... The rest of the bed would still be made.
Yeah.
So it's just like one blanket, so it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, mine's a mess. It's just a pile of blankets.
Is it right now, or did you make it?
No, I make it. I make it every day, every single day. I can make sure the pillows are in the exact same spot, everything's tucked in, everything's where it's got to be.
Nice.
Got my Halloween sheets in the right place, all of that. There's a blanket at the end that's folded. I do it all. But, again, people think, oh, he says he makes his bed every day, and he's talking about how he cleans his kitchen at night, but I'm not like a super clean person. If you walked into my house, it's not the cleanest house you've ever seen. There are areas of... This way, I have a table that just catches all my mail and just gets piled up with
my
crap.
My desk is a mess.
And I just allow that to happen. And I think it's like, rather than keep all that under control, it's easier for me to pick a couple things. So I pick the kitchen, I guess, and I pick the bedroom. And Snow Cone, that's why you start with the bedroom. You start with the
let's
bed.
Go.
Start.
And then you need to go for a little jog in the morning.
Yeah.
A quick little jog, Snow
That'll
Cone.
Get you
wake yourself up around 6:15.
Well, exercise.
No matter what, 6:15, make your bed, go for a quick jog.
Got it. I'm on it.
Up next, speaking in tongues.
The Church of Laszlo on 98.9 The Rock.
Okay, so this is the last
wedding?
Time I'll see you because...
You're going to Dallas for a wedding.
Yep.
You got a suit to wear?
Yeah, I'm going to wear the same thing I wore to Nick's wedding. It's fine, right?
I don't remember. Nobody
was there, so yeah, that's what I'm wearing. But I won't see you again, and since this money has just become basically tokens in my account now, and I did... find out that I guess I'd won some money during a Mets playoff game last week. So there's more money in here than I thought. I was like, all right, well, I guess I'll just keep betting this. And if I win
something,
if you
want tonight, I take...
Who is it, Minnesota and L.A.?
Yeah, take Minnesota to win and parlay that with a Justin Jefferson touchdown.
Okay,
that's pretty easy. You're not going to make a ton of money, but...
Okay. Got that. What about the Chiefs play the Raiders this weekend?
Yeah.
Snow Cone, that game's at 3:30 in the afternoon.
You're gonna have to get up early.
I'll make it.
Do you need us to call you? Do you want us to give you a courtesy call?
Oh, no, man. I'm good. I got Bomb Pop this weekend. I'll be good.
Oh, okay. You sure?
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind doing one of those wake-up calls. Courtesy
calls. I got Bomb Pop. Around 2 in the afternoon.
Does Bomb Pop wake you up?
Does he get up at the same time?
Come in. Does he ever say, "Are you okay, Dad? I'm worried."
And you're like, it's only four.
Go back to bed.
It's only four.
But the football game started, and you're like, wait until the fourth quarter.
No, I get up early with him.
That's when things get interesting.
I don't have anything for that, but how about I'll give you a three-game college football parlay.
Okay, that's what I need.
Ready?
Yep.
And this should pay pretty well. Take Navy in the upset.
Oh, to
win? Don't take the points. Take Navy to win.
Navy to win.
They're going
to
beat Notre Dame.
Okay.
And then take LSU.
Okay.
I think they're a dog, too.
Take them to win?
Yep. Don't take the points. Okay. And then Alabama, take them minus the points against Mizzou.
Alabama minus points against Mizzou.
Yeah.
What do you think?
That's a three-game parlay.
It's hard to know what's going to happen in that game, right? I feel like that's a tough one to predict. What do you think? I mean, you're a college football expert. I know you're not like you don't follow Mizzou super closely, but it's been kind of a weird season.
I think their quarterback's hurt. He got hurt the last game. I think Alabama they're in trouble. They've lost twice. People hate their coach. So I think mixing those two things together, Mizzou probably being overrated, Alabama having a lot of talented guys, I think probably they put it on them. I think Navy is completely underrated. I think they are going, and I think Notre Dame is overrated. And then, I trust, I don't love LSU, but I like the quarterback. I think they get it done.
So what about
Nussmeier?
Not necessarily betting on it, but just in general, the Chiefs in Vegas this weekend. We both kind of said that we don't expect the Chiefs have a perfect season. Do you think I hear people say it all the time. It's always one of those games you don't expect. Well, sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. But is this the one?
It's not this one.
They're not a very good team.
I think Max Crosby will have a good game, but they trade away their best offensive player. They're done. Once people start trading away players, it's over.
They're
talking about trading Max Crosby, for God's sakes.
The Chiefs, who do they play? The week after is a tougher game. At some point, they got to play Tampa, I think, right? And that could be a closer game. I did have their schedule pulled up at one point. Do you know who they play, Snoke? You're our Chiefs expert.
I'm the Chiefs
schedule?
Expert?
Yeah.
No.
I mean, you watch those games in your sleep. Chiefs at Raiders.
Bucks, November 4th.
Okay, so the Bucks is the 4th. But yeah, that could be a tough game, right? Then the Broncos at Arrowhead. And then you've got Chiefs at Buffalo, November 17th. That'll be exciting. And then the Panthers. Is there anyone worse than the Panthers in the NFL? Are the Patriots worse than the Panthers? The Patriots seem pretty bad, but I don't know if they're as bad as the Panthers. They've got to be...
Patriots are pretty bad.
I would guess Panthers are probably the worst. This is just a guess, and then Patriots are slightly less bad.
Raiders, Bucks.
Beat the Raiders. Say they could lose that
Broncos
game, right?
Bills, Panthers,
say you
Raiders,
beat the Broncos, then the Bills is tough.
Chargers, Houston, Pittsburgh. They got a couple tough games coming up.
Yeah, I mean, that Buccaneers game and that Buffalo game.
And the Chargers game and the Steelers game. Got a few hard ones.
Yeah. So,
but I wouldn't worry about them this week against the Raiders. That would not be anything I'd be concerned about.
Lazo says it's a lock. Chiefs will win.
Oh, the Chiefs win.
So put all your money on them winning. You'll win.
You're not
going
to
pay much. But
you're not going to lose it.
You won't lose it. That's a guarantee.
The Chiefs are going to beat the Raiders.
Yeah.
I don't know who the Lions play.
Well, let's check out the Lions schedule. Did they already have their bye? Maybe they did. Titans at Detroit.
Oh.
That's a noon game.
Parlay that. Everything you got. Chiefs and Lions will both win.
Okay.
There you go. There's your locks. I give you three college games. You bet them separately or all together. Doesn't matter to me. It's your money. Well, Lions and Chiefs are locks.
I'm going to bet those two together.
College games separately?
College games I'll do separately.
$100 on each?
Navy to win. LSU to win.
Yep.
And then Alabama with the points.
Yep, minus the points.
Yep.
There you go.
Going to be rich. Going to be rich.
Yeah, they really get paid for this.
You believe this shit?
The Church of Laszlo.
Amen, brother.
98.9 The Rock.
Yo!
Yo!
All right, well, you're getting married, huh?
I'm not getting married right now.
You're getting married this weekend in Dallas,
aren't you? No. Someone else is getting married in Dallas this weekend. I'm not getting married this weekend.
Two ladies.
I'll be getting married next year. But
Yeah. In Dallas?
No. No. Not in Dallas. So, what are you doing this weekend? No sports, huh? I mean, like, no kids sports,
No
right?
kids sports, huh?
Yeah. So, you can just watch college football.
That'll be good.
It's going to be real good. Watch college football. You can watch Navy in that big upset.
I'm excited. Put on my Navy sweatshirt.
I know you're a Navy fan.
I am.
I know you don't like Notre Dame.
I hate them. I hate Irish people.
That's what you always say. I never understood that, but I
hate them.
Don't know a lot about it, I guess. I don't know my ethnicity, so. Maybe I'm Irish. What if you found out I was Irish?
You don't look Irish to me.
Okay.
What is that? Mean? Hungarian or something.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know what that. That
you look Hungarian to me.
Huh. I'll have to look at
it. You look like Serge Tankian. What was he? Was he?
Armenian, I think.
Yeah, Armenian.
You look Armenian.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hungarian, Armenian, something like that.
You think I look Armenian?
Yeah.
How do you feel about Turkish people?
I'll tell you off the air.
Okay, he's Armenian.
Yeah, you can be that.
Look like just something kidding.
Like that. Anyway, Serge, good show. Stay positive, kids. We'll see you Monday, right?
Yep.
Have a safe flight. Don't worry about it. Planes hardly ever crash, buddy.
98.9 The Rock. Your home for the Church of Laszlo. The Church of Laszlo.